Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening and welcome to American Statesman Blog Talk Radio, the place where it's all about duty, honor, and country. Today's Monday, December 23rd, 2013. Yep, Christmas is getting close and the end of 2013 is near. My name is Sally Baptist. Thank you for tuning in tonight. Tonight, we're going to be discussing the war on Christmas and the war on freedom here in America. Neil Rice should be joining us a little bit later here. But before we get started, before I give you some other updates, I want to read something I haven't read in a while. It's called The American's Creed by William Tyler Page. And I just think I probably need to read it more often, and we need to all focus on what it means to be an American. Okay, here we go. I believe in the United States of America as a government of the people, by the people, for the people, whose just powers are derived from the consent of the governed, a democracy in a republic, a sovereign nation of many sovereign states, a perfect union, one and inseparable, established upon the principles of freedom, equality, justice, and humanity for which American patriots sacrificed their lives and fortunes. I therefore believe it is my duty to my country to love it, to support its constitution, to obey its laws, to respect its flag, and to defend it against all enemies. I think it's really important to think about that just about every day. I mean, we have the war on the Pledge of Allegiance, and I think, you know, we need to think about this American's Creed every day. And what are we willing to do to save this country? If you totally agree with what this says, and that bottom line, I therefore believe it is my duty to my country to love it, to support its constitution, to obey its laws, to respect its flag, and to defend it against enemies. What does that really mean? And I think we'll probably go back to that before the end of the show, to talk about how it means when we talk about the war on Christmas and the war on freedom in America. So that's going to be the highlight of the main discussion tonight. But first, just to put a notice out there, I am not planning on doing a show Thursday, the day after Christmas. I'm going to take the rest of the week off and spend time with family and do some other things. So 99.999, I will not do a show on Thursday. Never say never, but probably not. I'm not planning on it. And the other thing is, as we talk about this stuff tonight, going forward, for the next year, next Monday, I'm going to do a show called Pray for America. I think we really need to think deep about what this country is and if we believe in it. If you believe in communism and you don't believe in what the founders wanted, what the forefathers were seeking here, and the experiment is over, if the majority of people believe communism is the way to go. And communism has arrived in the United States. People just need to understand that. And again, that's why I'm going to do this show about, you know, a prayer for America. Pray for America, a prayer for America, because we really have to take a close look at what's going on. We have to deal with the truth of what is facing our country and what is facing us. If we are content to have government tell us everything, tell us what kind of doctors we can have, when we can have health care, what type of medicines we're allowed to take and which ones we can't take because they think we're too old and we shouldn't get care anymore and it's time for us to die and whatever other craziness, then the way it is. But I don't really think that's what the majority of Americans truly, truly believe. So that's why we need to think about the American's Creed, think about what it means, a sovereign nation of many sovereign states. What does that mean? A perfect union, one and inseparable, established upon the principles of freedom, equality, justice, and humanity for which American patriots sacrificed their lives and fortunes. Notice they sacrificed their lives and fortunes. Right now you can't find too many that are willing to sacrifice their fortunes. We have many patriots out there putting their lives on the line all the time through the military and through those of us who are fighting abroad here trying to save this homeland. But when it comes to those of wealth, they keep building the wealth. They don't care about the rest of us. They don't care about this country. That's why so many people go to Washington, D.C., and any political office, including local. It's amazing how much wealthier these people are after they go into public office. Go into public office to get rich. And where do they get rich? Off the people. So anyway, we need to think about that. And next, we're just going to get started on what Christmas is, the war on Christmas, the war on freedom. And when we talk about the war on Christmas, we have to talk about the war on Christianity, because that's what it is. It's the two go hand in hand. And like I say, Neil Rice will be joining us shortly here. Or at least she's scheduled to join us. Let's hope she didn't get called away to something else. Okay. When we talk about the war on Christmas, you know, you hear people saying, no, it's all in your head kind of thing. But let's talk about, and I put on the show pages, what is December 25th? They call it Christmas, but what is it? What does that mean? Why is it called Christmas? I don't know. Christmas just means a good time to go out shopping and buy stuff for people. Oh, is that what it is? Is that what Christmas really is? Well, obviously that's not what it is. Today we still know this. In another generation, they won't know it. Because you're not allowed to talk about Christ. You're not allowed to say Merry Christmas. And so what I started thinking I was going to do, and I mean, this just came up in the last couple of weeks, you know, because there truly is this war on Christianity here in the United States, it's, let's go around saying Merry Christmas. Let's say Merry Christmas to kind of reemphasize what Christmas is, Christ. And, I mean, you know, if you're in America, you have the right to not believe in Jesus Christ. You don't have to be a Christian. No one is telling you to. But the fact is, the founders were primarily Christian. That's what we were founded on, a strong belief in God. And that we should treat each other humanely, which is, again, what it says in the American's Creed, which, by the way, just so you know, this creed, the American Creed, was written in 1917 and accepted into the House, United States House of Representatives on August 3rd, 1918. It says, established upon the principles of freedom, equality, justice, and humanity for which American patriots sacrificed their lives and fortunes. So when we think of as a general concept or belief, culture of the United States as it was founded and it has how it has been up until the recent past, we believed everybody had a right to live. That's why we have this massive discussion about abortion, massive debate. And we don't believe a woman should be raped. We don't believe a man has a right to stone a woman to death, like Sharia thinks. Christianity is a much more caring and giving faith. It's one to where we are supposed to take care of each other and help each other and care about each other. That's not what some of these other faiths are about. Well, what is the atheist? Well, they don't believe in a God. So what do they believe in overall? Who knows? I mean, what do they base their core beliefs on when it comes to how to treat other people? If not God, what do they follow? Do they say, well, I don't like somebody, so my belief is they should be dead? Is that what it is? We get into other religious faiths, such as the Muslims, Islam. where the doctrine says, kill all the Christians, kill all the Jews, kill anybody that doesn't believe is us. They either convert to what we believe or they die. That's what it is. That's what our country is being invaded with right now. And people don't want to hear that. We just want to act like it's all this game, you know, this media that we're not being nice. No. This is why we can say there truly is a war on Christmas. There truly is a war on Christianity. There is a war on Christianity in this country. There is really globally. The Muslims have taken over much of the Middle East, and they continue. Because, again, on the Christian side and on the Jewish side as well, we're not prone to thinking, well, we're going to kill anybody who doesn't believe like us. That isn't what Christians believe. Christians don't believe that, well, wait a minute, you're Islam, so you're not a Christian, so you should die. That's not Christianity at all. But it is what the Muslim faith believes. It is what Islam believes on the other side. Thomas Jefferson knew this. It's part of what they believe. So why are we so willing to let the enemy come in and kill us? What is going on in Washington, D.C.? What is going on in any public office? Those who are entrusted to protect the people, to protect this homeland, and to protect the people. Where are they? What are they doing? And, you know, people try to say all the time about the moderate Islams don't believe this way. That's not the doctrine. I mean, can you be an atheist and believe in God? No. Can you be a Christian and not believe in Christ? No. Muslims, Islam, do not believe in Christianity or Judaism. They believe their job is to take out the infidels. Either you convert to their religion or you should die. That is what they believe. And it's so silly. I mean, if that's what your belief was, and you go with the Sharia mentality, honor killings are okay. The daughter was raped, so she should die. I mean, these kind of nutsiness things of what that religion is, then why, if you believe that way, why would you come to the United States of America? I mean, if you want to become a Christian and you want to, Jew, or some other, an atheist, whatever, if you want to escape the Islam faith and you want something different, well, I would understand why you'd come to America, but then you would embrace America, not the Muslim Brotherhood. But right now, this isn't what's happening. And it's all being done. You know, this goes back, I've said it on some of the other shows, and when someone first told it to me years ago, I had to just stop and think, it's like, this is interesting. Let me think about what this means. The same thing that makes you strong will also make you weak. Our strength of individualism, freedom of religion, the will of the individual to do whatever they want to do kind of thing, which is what we were founded on, even though you can't tell much of that today. It made us so strong and prosperous. We were able to do so many things. People were allowed to create, to dream, to build, to do many things, and to believe as they wanted to believe. But that's not where we're at today. We just don't, we seem to have lost our way in all this. But when you think about what the same thing that makes you strong will also make you weak. Our willingness to accept others, everybody's innocent until proven guilty, come here to seek asylum, all these different things because we were such an open society and we wanted to help anybody we could, the enemy said, well, gosh, they're willing to let us in. We might as well just take over. We'll just knock on the door and say, oh, we really need your help. Can you help us? And then we will plot and have things like the Boston Massacre and 9/11 and others that have happened as well. So we'll say, gosh, they're dumb enough to let us in. They don't care. Hey, they want to let us destroy them. We'll do it. And that's what's happened. And we have nobody protecting us in Washington, D.C. Here in Orange County, we have no one protecting us at that Orange County Commission. They're getting us involved in every kind of international crap that you can imagine. The surrendering the rights of the people. Same is true in Tallahassee, Rick Scott. Dear Lord, please do not let Rick Scott get reelected. Give us a libertarian who actually believes in the Constitution. His name is Adrian Wiley. Please, we cannot afford. Rick Scott is about as treasonous as it comes to. Even though he probably doesn't even know it, I think whatever made all the hair fall out of his head has done something to his brain as well. I'm not one to make fun of people's appearances. I'm not in a position to make fun of anybody's appearance, but we'll take a shot at the bald-headed man. But the thing is, you're not being realistic if you don't believe, if you think there's not a war on Christmas, not a war on Christianity here in the United States of America, you're blinded by something, because there is. And right now, this country's not going to survive. The founders were adamant that you had to have a moral society to survive. A free people cannot survive unless they are a moral people. And that all comes back to what is your core belief. When it comes to the atheist, I don't know what they use as their guiding light to make them decide what's right and wrong and good and bad and good and evil. In the Christian faith, it's pretty simple of what you should be doing. You shouldn't be harming others. You should help others when you can. It's really not that difficult. And that's the way most Americans believe in some level. Whether they accept Christ as their Savior or not, and those kind of things, maybe or maybe not. They may believe in God, but not Christ. But they do believe in a great Creator, a supreme Creator, who controls everything and who watches over what's going on. And that there is a heaven and a hell. And if you don't believe in any such thing, I mean, we can talk about Bill Maher, who, you know, doesn't believe in any kind of religion, thinks religion is just whatever. And I mean, there's many ways you can look at what religion does and how people use it and things like that, but he doesn't believe. But look at his behavior. Look at some of the vulgarity he says. He doesn't seem to have any decency. Who knows what he does to help anybody out? I couldn't tell you. Does he do anything? Now, freedom of speech, you know, I'm not going to take away his rights to say what he says. But if push come to shove and there was a crisis, would you want to depend on the likes of a Bill Maher to help you? Or a Christian person who might actually care? You tell me. Who would you want to be next to? If you're in a crisis, who would you want standing by you? Don't think it'd be Bill Maher. Bill Maher in the past, and I'm sure he's saying it this year too. I haven't heard him this year, haven't listened to him in quite a while. But he's out there, you know, complaining about people using Christmas lights and this and that. And you know, I mean, there's a certain say, maybe instead of buying those Christmas lights, you should have helped your neighbor who needed food. But at the same time, the reason for the Christmas lights, if we go back to what Christmas is about, it should be a time for celebrating that we all, what we believe in and that we care about each other, bring people together as a celebration of what we are. Of some type of decent humanity instead of those who want to exterminate any religion that doesn't agree with them. And I mean, I was planning on doing the show before all the craziness of Duck Dynasty, but Duck Dynasty in some way is saying a very similar thing, even, you know, whether you like the way the guy said it and whatever, and the only reason I know what he said is because it's been repeated 10 million times on cable news and whatever else. But he was strictly saying what he believed, why he doesn't understand some things, what some people do. Being a drunk isn't necessarily a good thing. he mentioned a variety of sins, not just the ones we keep hearing about. And he goes back to the Bible. This is what he believes out of the Bible, and it's what he's supposed to do. Now, let's see, are we going to get mad because the Klan has made me between the family and then between Annie and all this? Who really knows how much money they are going to make because of the scandal of talking about sin or what a person believes sin is? And as the Christian faith stresses, we are all sinners. The question is, do you promote sin? Do you promote a behavior or a lifestyle of sin with no care, no belief of anything else? Or do you actually say, what do I need to do to be a better person? What is it that I should do to help my fellow mankind, my American fellow American patriots? What can I do to help them? Or do we just say it doesn't matter? Do whatever you feel like doing. So anyway, I'm not going to go into any big deal about the Duck Dynasty unless somebody else wants to call in and talk some about it. I'm not going to get into all that, but I did hear a little bit about Cracker Barrel, which I went into a Cracker Barrel store over the weekend, and since all this commotion was out there and all these merchants are running for cover. It's like, oh dear, we're gonna be associated with somebody who reads the Bible. Oh my Lord! And they don't like what's, you know, they talk about sin as the Bible talks about sin. Oh, we can't do this. Well, anyway, it was kind of funny with Cracker Barrel. I went into a Cracker Barrel country store. Love Cracker Barrel stores. They used to be promoting more made in the USA stuff, so they seem to have gone away from that. But I'm gonna kind of remind them about that again. They had all their Duck Dynasty marked off at 40% off. So I picked up a couple things that I thought some people would like as Christmas gifts. I knew some people were going to take it as a joke and others would actually just kind of like it. So I did that. But now apparently the Cracker Barrel flip-flop routine here is that they were taking it down, getting rid of their line, excuse me, because it was offending some of their customers. But now they're putting it back on because they offended more customers when they took it down. And in some weird way, you know, at least they're realizing the error of their ways. That why did they have it up there? Because people liked it, and because Duck Dynasty and the Cracker Barrel country facade, whatever you want to call it, seem to kind of go hand in hand, and that Cracker Barrel is an American success story. Cracker Barrel used to kind of have some kind of faith. I mean, not that they were of the Hobby Lobby and Chick-fil-A that don't open on Sunday kind of thing, but they did seem to have some core values. You know, cha-ching, cha-ching, that's all it was about, was what was on the what was going in that register. And then when they realized people weren't happy, excuse me, when people weren't happy with their attitude towards trashing the Christian, and, you know, how many different ways can you study the Bible and how many ways can you interpret it and all those kind of things? There's many things you can do. But the point here is, was what this guy was saying, the Duck Dynasty scandal, whatever you want to call it, excuse me, was a genuine discussion about what this person believed based on the Bible, and was it just being honest? The truth will set you free. Wait a minute, we can't say the truth in America. Yeah, see, we're not allowed to say Merry Christmas because it might offend somebody. This is where we've gotten to. We can't speak the truth in America anymore because somebody might get offended by the truth. And you're not really allowed to be a Christian in America anymore because the atheist and the Islamist, you know, they don't like it. So you're not allowed to say that. No. So you're really not allowed to read the Bible in America anymore. And you know, this is crazy as some would want to say on this, I think that day is a lot closer than most people realize, when you will not be able to read the Bible. Here they've taken the Bible away from the military. So it's not that far-fetched. There is a war on Christmas. There is a war on Christmas. And there is a war on Christianity right here in the United States. And I think the part I find the most interesting, troubling, concerning, whatever you want to call it, is when I talk to Christians. And I mean, I'm going to tell you something. I don't go to church on Sundays. I've gotten somewhat disgusted with some churches. And I'm here in the Orlando area. There's nothing more disgusting that I would see is to go to a church and see a politician there, because they're all there just they're doing it for a photo op, not for any true, sincere belief. But what gets me when I talk to other Christians, those who go to church religiously, you know, and have strong faith, when I say, aren't you concerned about the war on Christianity and the war on Christmas? What is it you talk about when you go to church? What do you guys talk about? What is your church doing to protect your right to be a Christian? I mean, it's not like I'm expecting them to it's about as anti-American as it gets these days. They'll protect the pedophile, but they won't do anything to stop the illegal immigration. I mean, this is the way they recruit members, through illegal immigration. That's why the Catholic Church needs to let amnesty come through. I mean, it's kind of sick. Never be a Catholic these days. I mean, my father was raised as a Catholic, but I wasn't raised as a Catholic. I was raised as a Christian, but not a Catholic. And I don't think I could be a Catholic today. I have absolutely no desire to be in any way a part of the Catholic faith. I listen to a variety of shows, and I do my own kind of one-on-one every day with God. But I couldn't be part of the Catholic Church today. No more than I could be part of the Republican Party either. They seem so hypocritical in what they're supposed to be and what they are. But to the point, okay, Catholic Church, which is a large organization, and Christians across this country, millions and millions of Christians, they're all standing on the sidelines while the others come in and say, Christians don't belong here. The Christians are being destroyed and killed and sacrificed around this planet on the other side of the world. But that doesn't affect the Christians here. Do you not understand there's a war on your faith? So you truly believe you can go to church on Sunday, and that's all you have to do. You don't have to do anything else to defend your religion. I don't understand it. I mean, when you park your car in the parking lot, you lock it, don't you? For those who don't, how many times has your car been stolen? So what makes you think you're not supposed to do something to protect your religion? I don't get it. And I don't have it right in front of me here, but I will talk about it next Monday, Pray for America. What Jefferson said, what Jefferson and Adams found out about the Muslim Brotherhood, the Muslim faith, that doesn't believe America should exist. So we open the door. As the kind and giving Americans that we are, the Christian-based America that we are, we invite these people in, we let them come in, and then they are there to stab us in the back and destroy this country. At some point, people have to understand that's what it is. That's what they believe. That is their doctrine. That's why Thomas Jefferson said everybody needs to know about the Koran. They need to understand this is a religious war. So a religious war, which when it comes to the Muslims, they don't believe in Christianity or Judaism, and they don't believe in America. There is a war on Christmas. There is a war on Christianity. And being in denial of it isn't going to help. We have to seek the truth. We have to speak the truth. The truth is the only thing that's going to save us here. If Americans keep burying their head in the sand and just turning on whatever sports game it is that makes them feel happy, gives them a reason to go get drunk, just like they did in Rome, go to the games, party, celebrate, while your country is destroyed beside you and underneath you, all around you, and that's where we'll be. The United States is not long for this world if we don't change our ways, if we don't appreciate what we are, if we don't think about the fact a democracy in a republic, a sovereign nation of many sovereign states. We have almost no state sovereignty anymore. Been taken over by a federal government in so many ways. That's because you have people like we have in Rick Scott who want that handout from the federal government. And even locally here in Orange County, my Orange County Commissioner, Pete Clark, I saw him at a Christmas event just recently. And I said, by the way, how did you vote on that soccer stadium? Oh, I voted for it. He's supposed to be a conservative. Orlando needs soccer like that dead squirrel in the road needs an acorn. I mean, Orlando, it's nothing but a tax scam. Well, I did it because it got us some things. It was going to pass anyway. So I had to vote for it because it was going to pass anyway. And this way I got a few goodies for the neighborhood. That is the sick mentality of what's going on with politicians today. I have to pass the bad stuff so that I can get you some freebies. Can't deal with the truth. We can't deal with the fact that Orlando does not need a stupid soccer team. Major League Soccer, that is not what Orlando needs. But this is the mentality. This is the code of ethics that we have. That's why we have a dictator for the President of the United States. I've stopped calling him president because he's not. He's a dictator. Totally ignores Congress. He overrules. He makes his own laws. He goes forward. That's being a dictator. And who is he seem to be aligned with? Time and time again, he seems to be aligned with the Muslims. And the Muslims want America to be destroyed. That is what they want. This isn't what I wanted to believe. And it was something that if you would have asked me 2 years ago about the Muslim faith, well, we've learned a lot since 9/11. But in the last few years, I would have never thought it was to the extent it is. But it is. So, Christians, are you going to start talking about what's going on to your faith in church? Or is that a bad place to talk about it? If you can't talk about saving your faith, preserving the Christian faith in church, where do you talk about it? You go to a Christian church and you read the Bible, but you don't talk about those who are trying to steal the Bible from you. You don't talk about what you need to do to save that Bible, to save your faith, to save your church. I don't get it. I mean, does the Christian church have some massive outreach to the Muslim faith to try to convert them? Because I've never heard of that. The Muslim faith says, well, either you convert to us or, and this is Islam, either you convert to us or you're not going to survive. We will not prop you up. We will torture you and we will destroy you. There is a war on Christianity. And it would be so nice if Americans would just own up to that fact. And it's very, very tough love because as a country that believes in freedom of religion, and you know this is going to come right now, and I believe it's Mike Lee who's got the bill out there about Freedom of Religion Act or something to do with, you know, because of some of these issues that have happened lately, freedom of religion. But there is such a fine line when The religion wants to destroy the culture. Islam wants to destroy Christians and Jews. Anybody that doesn't believe is them. So what do we do in a society that's open and believes in freedom of religion when, in fact, there's a religion that wants to destroy you? Well, we believe in freedom of religion, so, okay, and this Sharia has been followed here in the United States. Sharia to say it was an honor killing? The United States now accepts honor killings? The daughter was not a virgin, so she had to die? Or she deserved to be tortured? Is that what the United States of America has come to? I don't know. This is why we need to definitely say a prayer for America. We better be praying for America, or we're not going to survive. Not survive as a Christian nation, not survive as a free nation. You can't have it both ways. People, we've had discussions on here many times, and I ask people all the time, can you be a Muslim and an American at the same time? I believe you can be an atheist and a American at the same time. But the Muslim faith, Islam, it's totally anti-American. It's totally about destroying the United States of America. That's what its doctrine is. You either believe as we believe, or you're sacrificed. You can't believe anything different. And here in America, we believe in freedom of religion. So, in a constitutional, legal sense, yes, a Muslim can be an American. Can a Muslim be true to their faith and be an American? No, because they believe in destroying America. And it'd be so nice if the Christian church, the Christian faith, would actually, not that it's going to go out there and say, you know, come down on Islam per se, but to strengthen their own base, to say we are united as a Christian people, and we will not be taken over by Islam. We will not be threatened by Islam. Can the Christian faith do that? Can the Jewish faith do that? I don't know. Now let's go on to other war, the war, you know. And when we refuse to face the truth, we can't solve the problem. We can't address it. We can't solve the, you know, we can't come to a resolution. And if you think there's not a war on freedom, again, you're not paying attention. I mean, you can talk about the Duck Dynasty as a freedom of speech and freedom whatever kind of thing, but when we get into the war on freedom in this country, there is a couple of recent cases, and I might try to bring up the articles and kind of read over some of them in case you haven't heard about them. But, I mean, these things, it's unbelievable that these things would be happening in the United States of America, but they are. And when these kind of things happen, you have to know there's a war on liberty, war on freedom. We are being converted to a bunch of serfs, to communism, and many don't even seem to notice, don't even seem to be aware. I mean, hey, there's some kind of a sports event, playoff game of some sort, and a few good beers. That's all that matters. In New Jersey, just recently, a man is washing his car in his driveway. On his private property, on his driveway, he's washing a car. New Jersey police comes up to him, says, well, one of your neighbors doesn't want to watch you washing your car out here. You're not allowed to wash or detail cars in public, in public space. The guy was on his own property, on his own yard. He was going to be given a ticket if he washed his car in his own yard, in his own front yard. That's sick. That's not America. That's communism. When you're going to be told when you can wash your car. that you have to go do it someplace else. You can't wash your car in your own yard, your own driveway. And I hate to think, I mean, here in Florida, on any given Saturday, you can go all over the place and see people washing their cars Saturday, Sunday, other days too. But, you know, there's plenty of car washes and people like to drive through them and whatever, that's fine. But many, many people wash their own cars in their own driveways or in their own front yard. But you can't do that in Jersey. New Jersey, this was the Garden City. I'll try to pull up the article and kind of go over some of that. The two other cases that were here in Florida, the one that I do believe you're going to be hearing a lot about in the very near future, if you haven't already heard about it, is the woman is being evicted, being forced to vacate her home because of living off the grid. The expression living off the grid means she's not using any public utilities. She has come up with another means for sustaining her own household without public utilities, electricity, and water. And she happens to like the way she lives. And the sad part is, this is in Cape Coral, Florida. There was a Fox News channel, I think it was Fox 4, that did an article. It was just talking about, it was truly talking about sustainability, living off the grid. What would happen to you in your own household if you no longer had electricity or water? How would you survive? How would you live? Well, this is a lady who actually embraced that thing and said, you know, I wanted to see how I could survive in a tough situation. And so she started it, and then she continued on with it. So they were doing it just as a informational kind of thing, public interest, living off the grid. And the very next day, after they aired this thing, the county came and posted a sign in her yard that her house was not suitable to live and she had to vacate it. They'd never been in the house. They knew nothing of how she was surviving. They saw this article, and the government said, you can't live that way. We're not going to let you. And this is in America. How is this the land of the free? How can we be a free society if a person cannot even make the decision to live off the grid? That we have to somehow be attached and reporting to the government as to when we flush the toilet, how many times we flush a toilet, how much water we use a day, how much electricity we use a day. If they can't track us that way, they're going to evict us out of our own homes? And I'll give you the link here in a few minutes, but if you do a search on woman living off the grid, woman forced to vacate for living off the grid, if you do a search on that, you'll see a couple of different articles. But it was Fox 4, I think, in Fort Myers that did the article on it that started this whole thing. And you just say, how can this be America? How can we say we're a free society if the government would come after you for something like this? And it's not harming anybody. It wasn't like there was an outhouse in the backyard and the kids were playing in it or something stupid like that. It was nothing like that. In fact, the lady collects rainwater. She uses rainwater to flush her toilet. Is there anything wrong with that? Why is that a crime in the United States of America to use rainwater to flush your toilet? But it is. Well, at least it is in Florida, in Cape Coral. And then a while back, we had a, one other thing first before I go there. Another thing here in Florida, this was up around the Tallahassee area. The government was saying that the family could not grow vegetables in their, could not have a garden, not have a food garden in their yard. And we're talking about a yard that was done nicely. Wasn't like it was plowed like a field or a farm. It wasn't like that. It's just in their front yard. They had different planters that they were growing food in. And they were living off their own food. But the government says, no, you're not allowed to do that. You're not allowed. You have to come to us for food. We have to control the food you get. How can this happen in a free society? How can we say we're free? We're not free. If you cannot grow food in your own yard to sustain yourself, to keep from getting the GMOs and, you know, grow your own organic food, these people use their garden for all their fresh produce. But the American government says, no, you're not allowed to do that. We're not free. If you cannot grow food to live, and if you cannot live off the grid, then we're not free. You can't wash your own car in your driveway. We're not free. The war on freedom is massive. These are only a couple of recent cases. The other case, which organic meat, there's different types of hogs. Michigan. Doing everything they can, the Department of Agriculture for Michigan, Michigan Department of Agriculture, everything they could to shut down this family farm that was doing no harm and was growing things organically. Well, wait a minute, you can't have organics. Thank you. So the big farms, the corporation, the individual doesn't have rights in this country anymore. We're not free anymore. We really are not free. And it's sad. And the true sadder part is how many Americans seem to be clueless about it. How many Americans do not seem to understand the war on Christmas, the war on Christianity, the war on Judaism as well, and the war on freedom, the war on our private and personal liberties. I mean, everybody's been I shouldn't say everybody, but many, many, many people have been annoyed about what's been happening with the NSA and these other things. They are destroying our liberty every day. The Patriot Act was one of the biggest. Obamacare, even bigger. We're being converted to a communist country, and we don't even seem to know it. I don't understand how many very intelligent Americans can be so blind, but they truly don't want to see it. They don't want to see what the IRS did. They don't want to face the fact of our own government killed Americans in Benghazi. They were part of it. And they don't want to see the truth about what's happening, not only on that southern border. The southern border has been a gateway, come in and invade and take over this country. But it's not the only. Plenty of walking the front door through the airlines and as we relocating 80,000 Muslims to Lincoln, Nebraska, and all these other kind of crazy things that are happening. Our country is being robbed and destroyed out right in front of us, and we're all sitting here looking. Common Core, dumbing down the American people through public education. Never in my life did I despise public education so much as I do today. And when I was going to school, I'm sure some of this was actually underway back then. It was a few years ago, but I'm sure some of this was underway, but it hadn't gotten to this extent. And also, at that point, parents were more involved with their kids. But now the school, it's everything that the communists believe. You are part of the common. You're not an individual. You are part of the community, the common. Common property kind of thing. You don't have individual identity. You are a number in the system. And it was MSNBC, I think, that had that crazy commercial about, well, up until now, Americans always thought that children belong to the parents, but no, they don't. They belong to the community. Children are the property, is what this says. Children are the property. There's no war on liberty. You think it's all right there. It's all right there. Okay, I'm back. Not sure what happened there, but we had a hiccup in the system. Maybe somebody doesn't like what I'm saying, and maybe I'm exercising my freedom of speech probably more than what I should. I've often figured at some point that I'll end up on a chopping block someplace, but I don't care. Going back to what are we going to do from here and what I am doing as 2014 approaches. In my own case, I'm tired of the political correctness. I'm going to start calling what it is what it is. Dictator, not president. Dictator Obama. He's out there on the golf course. Of course, I saw some article slip through on the emails. I didn't read it, didn't really care, but he has signed up for Obamacare. He actually went out there and signed up for himself. Well, geez, I'm impressed. I wonder how much fun it was, and of course he probably had 10 people there helping him, making sure he could get through anything. Let's see what would have happened if one of his kids or his wife or whoever would have totally sat there and done it on their own. But we'll see. But anyway, but he did apparently sign up for Obamacare. Has to show that he's a good example, right? A lot of people are saying he's in, they for whatever reason, this, other people seem to know these things a lot more than I do when it comes to marijuana. Well, he admitted that he smoked pot when he was younger. Some say he's using it now, but between cigarettes or whatever, see, they say he's using something. I wonder if that's allowed on Obamacare. The other thing I heard about Hillary Care, was going back to what Hillary Care was, is, and I've heard it recently too, that you're going to be penalized if you're overweight, penalized if you don't eat whatever they say you're supposed to eat, or penalized for whatever, whether it's drinking, penalized if you smoke cigarettes, all these different things, which again is a war on freedom. And it's like, well, again, that's why you had the private sector, and that's why there were different rates for insurance. If you smoke, you do pay more for insurance than you should. Not, you know, the craziness of the tax they put on cigarettes wasn't to help the public. That was just to get more money for the people in office. That had nothing to do with funding care for lung cancer kind of stuff like they tried to say. Sad what we have become. But, again, going forward, what I'm doing for 2014 is not being PC. We have a dictator. We don't have a president. It's time to be honest, America. The truth will set us free, but we have to be honest. We have to be truthful. Obama isn't a president. The president actually follows what the laws are. He doesn't. He writes them up as he goes. And if Congress won't make the laws that I want, then I'll make my own. Goes out there, so I'm not going to execute those laws. Okay, Border Patrol, you do not stop anybody coming over. Border Patrol, stop patrolling that border. Let all the illegals come in. ICE, you can't deport anybody. All these things that they do, that he has done, shows he's a dictator. Look up the definition of dictator. Look up the definition of a president. Don't call him a president because he's not one. He's a dictator. And the other is the C word, communism. We have, as Americans, we have to face the fact that communism has arrived into this country. Are we going to allow communism to take over this country, or are we going to stop it? Or are we going to demand the freedom? Because right now, communism is getting a very good hold, Common Core being one of them, dumbing down of the individuals. We're going to dumb down the student to be trained to be a serf, to be a robot, to be a worker, kind of like China. And, you know, China is a communist country. Why are we embracing Chinese communist culture? All these different things. And I'm just not going to go along with it anymore. I mean, the first thing I have to do, like everybody out there, we have to face the truth and face what has happened. We have a treasonous, tyrannical government. Very, very few of those in public office today should be there. Most of them should be impeached. And, of course, I know there's different laws about impeaching, who you can impeach and all that stuff. Most of them should be charged for a violation of their fiduciary duties, for a violation of their oath of office. They are selling us out. They are treasonous. And why does that happen? Well, then we get into the political parties and the money and the term limits, all those things. But, of course, ultimately it comes down to one key factor, is that the American people have been MIA. The American people are the ones who have allowed these others because we trusted them. We were taught in school to trust them. They take an oath to do certain things, and we must trust them. All these kind of things that we are told. We are told that all, you know, that as a citizen, our job is to vote, and done that, we've done our job. And it's like, well, first off, most people don't really do their job voting right. What are you supposed to do when you vote? Why are you supposed to know who you're voting for? And I mean, I've skipped over some of the offices, when, especially, and I'll probably be a lot more careful after the ordeal I've gone through this year, judges and things like that, when I felt like I really didn't know who was who, or I knew that they were in office, so I voted against them. I mean, truthfully, when in doubt, oust them out. In my own case, if I really, 90% of the time, if I'm not really familiar with the candidate, if it's an incumbent, I'll vote for the other. I'm sick of people being in office so long, whether that be a judgeship or anything else. I don't believe you should be there for life. So I vote people out, or I don't vote at all on them. I'll skip them if I just don't know. Maybe someone's retiring and there's two new people running and I just have no clue who they are, what they are, and I won't vote. Because all the other reviews is just guessing, and I totally, totally refuse to vote on based on some stupid party line stupidity is all I can call it. Because the party lines mean nothing. Just look at the Charlie Crist syndrome right here in Florida. Well, I think I'll run as a Democrat. No, I'm going to run as a Republican. But wait a minute, I'm going to run as an independent. No, I'm going to run as a Democrat. It's not because of core beliefs or values. It's because, well, I'll have a better chance to get elected if I run as a Democrat. Because Democrats just vote for Democrats. They don't know who they are, just like Republicans do. Oh, Republicans vote for Republicans. Well, now, because of the Tea Party movement, the Tea Party movement is definitely, it's a conservative group in the sense they believe in the Constitution. And at one point, both the Democrats and the Republicans believed in the Constitution, but they neither one seems to today. So the Tea Party is definitely limited government, because if you believe in the Constitution, you believe in limited government. Well, out of the two primary parties, the two major parties out there, which one claims that it believes in limited government? The Republicans, the Republicrats. And so to that degree, yeah, Tea Party should be much more in line with the Republicans because of the limited government piece of it. But we know that's not true. I mean, we know the Republicans aren't limited government, conservative. They're not even ethical. Look what Paul Ryan did with this budget. It's a disgrace. It's a disgrace if you claim to be for limited government and conservative values. How any of them can stand there after what they did to the veterans? When there's so many, when, you know, Senator Coburn out there has identified billions and billions of things to cut, but they won't cut their gravy train. Things they could cut that nobody would even know. There would be no impact to the end user. There'd be some people who'd be laid off at the federal level or moved into some other office or whatever, transferred into something else. But it wouldn't be no impact to the service. It wouldn't be shutting down the World War II Memorial. That was all politics, and it's just totally superficial because they think the American people are so stupid. And are we this stupid? How stupid do they think we are .. How stupid are we?
This is what these people do. And I'm just not going to say it's okay. I'm going to do as much as I can to talk about the truth. I'm going to put it out there. Hey, guys and girls, you're a bunch of crap. I'm sick of the way you're destroying this country, and I'm not going to vote for you.
Teresa Jacobs, I ain't voting for you.
And I'm going to do my best to make sure people know why they shouldn't vote for you.
Orange County Mayor Teresa Jacobs, rhino to the max. She also voted for, I'll give you just a couple of reasons why you should not vote for Teresa Jacobs. One, she just recently voted to fund a Major League Soccer stadium in Orange County. We have a citrus bowl they can't seem to finish up renovating. University of Central Florida in Orange County has a relatively new stadium that can be used for many things. Don't need it. And there is no appetite for pro sports in Orlando. The Orlando Magic can hardly survive here. In the beginning, they were kind of good, but then people don't care. We've got Disney and all this other stuff going on here. It just, we don't have the market for it here. Miami didn't want Major League Soccer, neither did Tampa, neither did Jacksonville. Those all have all three of those cities have Major League or NFL football teams. Major League Baseball, too. So it's kind of like, and I think some of them even have hockey. And yeah, Tampa has hockey. Can't remember about the other ones. But those teams didn't want Major League Soccer. They didn't see it as viable. But Rhino Jacobs, yeah, sure, what the heck. And part of the money for this is going to bail out the other venues that they haven't finished yet because of Buddy Dyer, who's the mayor of Orlando, who is a Democrat. But Jacobs, Thompson, and Boyd, all three of them violated the Sunshine Law, deleted records, public records, played games during a public hearing, texting information back and forth to their special interests. They're still sitting on the commission. Then again, it's over. Communism. Dictatorship. These people do this kind of stuff. They're not representing you. They're representing their money. Not our money, their money. And Jacobs was out there when she was a commissioner, Orange County Commissioner. Oh, I'm going to do what the people say. I'm going to vote against the venues if that's what the people say. And this, you know, she had her town hall meetings. I went to some of them. Totally lied. She pretends to be one thing, does another. Total hypocrite. Backstabbing. As long as she makes the money and she gets it for her friends. She was a lobbyist for DOT. She acted like she didn't want to raise the tolls and all this other stuff. But, yeah, she always did. She always went along with it. She's bad news. I didn't vote for her before because I knew what she was. I used to be on the Republican Executive Committee, so I was a little bit more engaged in some of the discussions. But after I saw what happened with that Executive Committee, I thought, never again. George Washington said no. President George Washington warned us. He gave us the roadmap for what was going to happen. And we said, no, we know better. Here we are. So Teresa Jacobs, definitely not. Scott Boyd, no. And Jennifer Thompson, no. They'll stab you in the back just as fast as they can. They don't care about you. They care about themselves. Jacobs, I know, is up for re-election. I believe Thompson is also up for re-election, but I'm not sure. Hopefully she might be already maxed out. But she doesn't belong in any other office either. So, but the whole point is, and then, of course, Rick Scott, which we did have a show not too long ago, all the reasons why. Let's talk about the reasons why you should not re-elect Rick Scott. But the whole point is, as a citizen, your vote is useless if you don't know who you're voting for. if you don't know why you're voting for him. If you're voting for him just because of a party line, you're blind. You're clueless. You're blinded by the light or something, because the parties mean nothing. The parties mean absolutely nothing. So, I'm just not going to go along with it. I'm going to try to call out why people should not be reelected. I'm going to call out, what is a dictator? What's the difference between a dictator and a president? Why does America have a dictator? When are the two houses of Congress going to do something about it? They claim they can't do anything about it. There's something seriously wrong if the two houses of Congress can't do something about an out-of-control president, dictator, a dictator who has assumed full control to do whatever he feels like doing. Constitution means nothing to him. And I'm not going to pretend that I think he's a president. He's not. I'm not going to pretend he was elected by the will of the people, because I don't believe he was. The elections are so corrupt. Why are the elections corrupt? Because of the parties. And it is really so easy to shut down these parties if you have the will, and that's by not giving them money. Now, major groups, major organizations are going to still give money to the likes of a Karl Rove and some of these other PACs and all this other stuff, and the RNC and the DNC and whatever. But if the majority of individuals do not put money into them, the only money comes in from the megas, they're going to know that they don't have the will of the people, and it's going to make a difference. It is going to make a difference. There is power in numbers. United we will stand, divided we will fall. It is truly, truly that simple. Well, I'm not sure what happened to Neil. Don't know if I can try to give her a call or not. See if she's going to be joining us or if something came up. But she was going to talk a little bit more about the case with the lady living off the grid and what this grid overall scheme of things, the regionalism, how we are being converted into this communist society where our utilities will be doled out to us by the government, just like healthcare. We're going to tell you how much you're allowed to have. We're going to tell you whether you can use air conditioning or not, or you can only use it for a couple hours a day. You can't use it for the full, whatever you want to pay for it, and how much water you're allowed to use and these types of things, and that they are going to continue to put fluoride and every other kind of crap into the water while they pretend that they're taking care of you. So, let's see here. Let me go into living off the grid. In the web.com, and if you look for the actual article, Living Off the Grid, and in here, let's see, this all started back in November of this year. From your monthly utility bills, no Florida Power and Light payments, no whatever this other water bill is, and no water, no sewer. But it all means doing without some luxuries like air conditioning. It's called living off the grid, okay? So that's what this is about. And her name is Robin Speranus. Her home is a modest place with new paint and a garden in the works. Everything you see in here was free or donated or bought for next to nothing. Stove and gets her water from rain barrels. She uses a cordial silver generator to disinfect the rainwater. Sounds pretty good to me. About air conditioning here. That's what she wants. Okay, and then I plug this into my inverter and my battery pack. The light will get brighter and brighter as silver microparticles are suspended in the water. It's nature's antibiotic, she explains. Most of her food is non-perishable, and if Robin wants something fierce, which are charged up by these larger solar-powered batteries off the grid but still connected, Robin uses a special antenna to get free Wi-Fi. And in the bathroom, a camping shower does the trick. It will heat. This will heat up with 3 hours in the sun, but I'll take a shower at any temperature is fine with me, she says, pointing to the crude contraption. And when nature calls, when she uses water. Okay. And it goes then asking her why she decided to do this, and it was an interest in empowering myself like we did when we got off the healthcare system. I wanted to look at every other part of my lifestyle and say, do I need this? Is this of value to me? If it went away tomorrow, what would I do? The more I got into it, the more exciting and the more adventurous it became. And Robin's life has taken many turns in the 3 years since her husband passed away from a debilitating muscular disease. Her experience with the healthcare industry driving her to unplug. Robin says she'll take her right to live off the grid to the highest courts regardless. Four in your corner is withholding where Robin lives. Okay, and let's see here. And this was kind of funny, too, where it talks about, reporter, what do you think if some people might say, that lady, she's a little kooky? Robin, who cares? That's all I have to say, who cares? and that's the truth, that's the way it is. But now, I can find the a continuing article here. This is the living off the grid. And then from this point, it goes into when she gets the order to vacate. Let's see. See if I can find it. But it talks about, again, right after this article aired, the very next day, the county is out there, code enforcement saying she's not allowed to live there. And in a free society, should you have the right to live off the grid? If you're not harming anybody, I mean, that used to be what it was all about. It really used to be about seeking the pursuit of happiness. And as long as you weren't bothering anybody, what difference did it make? Why would anybody else care? Why would you not be allowed? And I am still trying to find the original. As usual, I'm having my challenges with this machine again. I have asked Santa Claus for a new computer, but I'm not sure if I'm going to get that or not, but I've tried. Okay. Let's see. Ordered to vacate. She received an order to vacate. They came in just without asking any questions, without inspecting her house or anything else. They stuck a sign in the front. As they order to vacate, saying the house was not livable. And again, as you see in the article, if you watch, go out there and watch the YouTube of the article, the video, there's nothing wrong with the way this lady is living. She is not living in some kind of filth. She is not, it's not like there's some open outhouse in the backyard that is somehow at causing a risk to anybody else. And I think in the overall scheme of things, I find this to be interesting because people forget. You know, I was up in Springfield, Illinois, and I went and did the tour of Lincoln's home. And guess what? He had an outhouse. You know, that is truly nature's way. Indoor plumbing is not. And so you just kind of wonder, what are these people thinking? And why would you, as an American, not be allowed to live off the grid, to live without public utilities if you can and if you want to? I mean, there's a lot of things that would be more challenging. Excuse me. I can't imagine living in Florida without air conditioning these days. Growing up, we didn't have air conditioning, but we had a different type of house, windows that you could leave open all night and things like that, but you can't do that today. Kind of annoyed that I can't find this because I had the article out there to begin with. Okay, I'm going to try one more time here so I can pull up the actual details when she talks about what they did when they came out there. I mean, see pictures of, when you go watch the video, you see the pictures of them post something out in her yard telling her that she cannot live there because she didn't have electricity and she didn't have running water. And the article also said, made mention that these are required in many communities. It's probably true right here in Orange County. I really haven't thought about it because I have the running water and the electricity, and in my case, I plan to keep it that way. But think about your rights as an American. Should you be allowed to live without public utilities? Is that your right? Well, this is annoying. I can't find it. But anyway, you can go out there and do a search and find information on it generally. I was trying to find the one very specific article, but there's a lot of information out there. And now there's other things. What battery is best for living off the grid? Best places to live off the grid. How stuff works, how living off the grid works. And, you know, really, Americans should think about that. We need to truly think. We talk about being energy independent, and we probably really need to spend more time to see how we can do within our own personal situation, how much we can do without public utilities, without being on the hook to the public utilities. I mean, when you think about it, when it comes to the water and stuff like that, you could keep the water meter going, but you could definitely cut back on a lot of water use. So you could actually do stuff to block a lot of it, even though they wouldn't be able to come in and say you didn't have running water and that type of thing. Okay. Apparently, now this is living off the grid now a crime? I don't know if this is going to make reference to this case or there's another case out there, but we'll take a look at it. Apparently, living off the grid, off the land, and without government assistance is now a crime that can land you in jail and cause you to lose your home. Think about that when we talk about freedom in America. How can we say we're free? We're not free. And I mean, you know, if somebody can live that way and it's of no consequence to any of us, they are not harming us. They are not creating some kind of health hazard for anybody else. The government should have nothing to do with it. This is an out-of-control, tyrannical, communist government. And I'm saying communist because it's time we start talking about what is if the government controls us in every aspect of our lives. Government officials across the country are forming so-called nuisance abatement teams to intimidate people into giving up their land or conforming to the government's demands and hooking back into the grid. Countless across the country are actually jailing people for living the way they want to live. This is so anti-American. You ought to be able to live off the grid. You should not have to depend on government. There's something seriously wrong. And, of course, that's part of the reason why now they want to tax us for rainwater. They want to, based on how much land you have, is how much they're going to tax you for rain. This is so sick. This is sick. This is not the United States of America. I was ordered this video by a reader and was troubled and sickened by what the poor people in California, in the California desert, are being forced to deal with, from being threatened with jail time if they don't hook back into the grid, to being thrown in jail because the county didn't like the look of their homes. The people in the deserts of Los Angeles County are being terrorized by their government. Now, this is a case in California. I'm talking about a case here in Florida. This is sick. It was California who went out there and blocked water from farms because they said they were trying to save some whatever it was, a guppy or something. I don't know. I can't remember what it was they were trying to save. But they were starving the people. The government is so out of control. It's just absolutely out of control. There's no other way to define it. Sorry about that. I'm still trying to find this one other thing. I'm determined to try and find the original article that I had earlier. And I'm sure it's out here on Fox 4 somehow, but their search thing doesn't seem to be helping me too much. Because they're the ones who initially did Living Off the Grid. It was a very informative kind of thing. Here's a person who's living off the grid. Here's how much money. Living basically or living for like $20 a week. She's got her food supply built up. She can go for months without needing anything or paying anything. How much does it cost to live? Nothing. And says, Robin, I first figured that one when I first went off the grid and it was like $20 a week. Now I have a year's supply of food, I can walk everywhere, and I can go for weeks or months without spending a penny. See, and that bugs government to death. They want you to be so dependent on them. The living off the grid for Robin isn't so much about pennies, but principle. And again, this is where she goes into why she decided to do this. It's empowerment to be able to survive without some of these things. And how many people wouldn't be able to survive? And then we have the other, and again, you know, you can do a search and find out some others, just like that other article I found on California. Anti-American. This is the communist takeover of the American people. When you are not allowed, as an American, to live off the grid, when you are causing no harm to anyone else, there's something wrong. We have lost our way. Now, let me see if I can find the other article in reference to the man washing his car. This was another one that was just unbelievable. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you. Thank you.